So I want to take this opportunity to go through a few of the basic mitzvot, essential components of the Erev Shemitah and Halacha, and I'd like to show that even though there are many details in terms of how to keep Shemitah, they all really point to one broader goal. And I think it's an important framework for understanding the various mitzvot relating to the year. So let's begin with source number one in this week's Parsha of Bahar, where the Torah describes the year of Shemitah. Just notice this morning, it's kind of interesting. How many psukim are there describing the mitzvah of Shemitah? 7. Coincidence? Who knows? Either way, the Torah says, V'daber Hashem Moshe b'har Sinai le'mor. Hashem spoke to Moshe at har Sinai, saying, D'aber b'nei Yisrael martel e'em. Speak to Israel and say to them, Ki tavo el ha'aretz. When you come to the land, Asher ani noten lachem, that I am giving to you, V'shavta ha'aretz Shabbat l'Hashem. The land will rest a Sabbath to God. And that is sort of the Shabbat l'Hashem, I think, is important. That's sort of the entree into everything we're about to say. It's a year of Shabbos for Hashem. Sheish shanim tizra sadecha, you shall plant your field for 6 years. V'sheish shanim tizmor karmecha, and you shall prune your vineyard for 6 years. V'asavta tevuata, and you shall gather the grain. And you'll note that it's very much the same construct to how we introduce the weekly Shabbos. It's always, you work 6 days, you rest on the seventh. Here it's, you work 6 years, you rest on the seventh. Uvashanah ha-sheviyit, Shabbat Shabbaton yela'arat, Shabbat la'Hashem. On the seventh, you will have a Sabbath to the Lord for the land. Sarchalo tizra, do not plant your field. V'karmachalo tizmor, and do not prune your vineyard. Atzfiyah ketzirecha lo tiktsor. You shall not harvest the offshoots of your harvest. And vinezirecha lo tiktsor. And you shall not pick the grapes. It translates here untrimmed vines. Zirecha is a bit of a difficult word. Some say nazir, the thing that you sort of separate yourself from, the grapes that you generally wouldn't want. Shadat Shabbaton Yel Aret. So the first thing we have here that we have to do, we have Shabbat LaHashem, then we have an enumeration of 4 different types of avodah, of melacha, of labor that you cannot do. We have Zeria, Zemira, Ketzira, and Betzira. And we'll see that that's actually significant, because Shemitah, although called Shabbat LaHashem, is a bit different than melacha on Shabbos. It's not these 39 broad categories in the same way. So that's the first notion. Vaita Shabbat ha'aretz lachem l'ochla l'cha l'adacha v'lamatecha v'lesircha l'toshavacha ha'garim ima. And the rest of the land shall be for you to eat, for you and for your servant and your maidservant, and for your worker and the resident who lives with you. We'll see this is a very interesting verse. It actually hints at 2 different mitzvot. When the Torah says, the land shall be for you to eat and your servants, it refers to the fact that you and everybody around you have equal access to the produce. Meaning, even though you worked this land, you own this land, and now it's producing, you would have assumed exclusive ownership over the produce. That is not so. During the Shemitah year, everyone else has equal access as well. And the rabbis also see in the word lit ochla that it's for you to eat, that Shemitah has a very specific goal, and there are specific purposes you can use Shemitah produce for, and you cannot use them for other purposes. And then again, all the food shall be for the animals in your land. There's a certain emphasis on animals here, which we'll get to a little bit later in terms of why the Torah is mentioning that. But all the produce will be for them to eat. So we have a number of mitzvot here explicitly, and let's go through them sort of systematically, and I think you'll see that they all really relate to this broader notion. So I want to actually start with the mitzvah of hefker, the mitzvah of declaring the produce ownerless. And all of these topics are very lengthy topics. There's a lot to say about each of them. This year in the Beit Midrash, you'll be learning all about Hilchos Shemitah, and we've gone through each of these extensively. But we'll outline them briefly here. So there's a mitzvah to declare the produce ownerless, that the landowner should say, all the things that my field produces are free. They are for everybody to take. This is the Sefer Achim, the Rama Se Mitzvah. It's actually based on a pasuk in Parsha Mishpatim. Not in this week's Parsha, but as you'll see, this week's Parsha also hints to it. So the Sefer Achim says, Lahafkir kol mashatotzi aretz b'shanah ha-shviyit. Like the 84th mitzvah is to declare all the produce of the seventh year ownerless. And he makes it a really important point. She nikreis mipnei amasa azeh shenitzchayav nubah shenas ha-shmitah. The reason that we call the seventh year Shemitah is because of this notion of Hefker. It's because of this mitzvah to declare the land ownerless. We call it the Shemitah year for that reason. Shamot, Shemitah means a certain renunciation. Right? And that's important because it seems that it indicates that this is a really important theme across all the mitzvot that relate to the Shemitah year. That's why it's called Shemitah. And everybody can take the fruit. He quotes the pasuk from Mishpatim. On the seventh, you shall relinquish it, you shall abandon it, and then the destitute can eat, and the animals can eat, and do the same to your vineyard and to your olive. So there's a mitzvah of hefker. Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor points out that when we have in this week's Parsha the emphasis on the fact that it's for you and for your maidservant and for everybody around you, it's hinting to this notion. Klomar kulchem shavim. You are all equal in this regard. Everybody has equal access. You are no better than the people who are just wandering through your field. You have no more ownership than them. Kishem she'inam b'cholim ma'ek yafkerhu. I think this is what the saying is. Just as they are only able to have a little bit, because it's hefker. Meaning, all of you can take a little bit at one time, and we'll see there's actually limits to how much you're supposed to take. V'hakol ochlim shulchan gavoa. Everyone is eating from the holy table. And shulchan gavoa, we'll mention briefly, is usually a term associated with kadshim, with karbanos, that when you eat kadshim, you're eating from Hashem's table. And the Yerushalayim Bechor Shor used that for Shemitah year also, that there's something divine about this produce. There's a mitzvah of making it available and not seeing yourself as the owner of the produce. There's a long discussion in the Acharonim as to whether or not you formally need to be mafkir it and get three people and say hefker, 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 or is the mitzvah more a focus? It's about the way that your perspective on the produce. How do you look at this stuff? It's about not preventing other people from having it, and that's what the Rambam says here in source number 4. When he defines the mitzvah, he says, mitzvah aseh la'ashmi kol mashatotzi aretz b'shviyeh. There is a mitzvah to renounce all the produce of the seventh year, and he quotes, shenemar b'ashvidish m'ten t'ashta. And how do you violate this? Kol ha-noel karmo osag sadeu b'ashviyeh b'tel mitzvah aseh. Anyone who locks up their vineyard or fences in their field on the seventh year has nullified this positive commandment. So by withholding access, by saying, this is my field, you're not going to get in without my permission. Which, if you think about it, is a very logical thing to normally do. Right? We generally do not refrain from keeping people off of our property. You're not supposed to do that during the Shemitah year. And the Rambam adds, you're not allowed to take all the produce into your house. This is quite, without getting into the rest of it, the Rambam actually describes the appropriate amount to take. How much Shemitah produce should you take at once? Now this is a bit surprising, because when something is hefker, usually it means anybody can take. So that if I have a box of cookies, right? Classic, you want to get rid of that, all those chocolate chip cookies before Pesach. So you go to some public place, let's say the base medrash somewhere, the shul, and you say, hefker, hefker, hefker. Everybody take chocolate chip cookies, right? That doesn't mean that you can't take. You also can take. And in that situation, if someone went and took the whole chocolate chip, the whole plate home, you might sort of like, you know, give them a nasty look and saying, what's wrong with you? Like, why are you so greedy? Leave some cookies to the rest of us. But they're not doing anything wrong legally. It's Hefker. Anybody can take it as much as they want. So what's the story with Shemitah year? So there's a lot to say about this. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach here, this is Roy Turchiner's translation, argues that the Hefker of Shemitah is a bit different. He says as follows, the Hefker of Shemitah, even though it is sort of the paradigm for all types of Hefker, generally Hefker means it's no one's, it's ownerless. Then therefore everybody is allowed to take as much as they want. Where the Torah describes in Shemitah a certain equality of access for everyone. Everybody is an equal partner. It's everyone. It's Klal Yisrael's produce. It's not no one's, it's Klal Yisrael's produce. So you can't, as the owner, take all of it. You can't take all of your produce. And he suggests, even if you do it a bit at a time, even if you do it in the right way, there's something wrong with the owner taking all of it, because it assumes a certain ownership of the produce that you can't do during Shemitah year. The point is, during Shemitah year, it's not yours. It's not your stuff. So that's the mitzvah of Hefker. And that's how you have to relate to it. But we'll see that this also relates to the other mitzvot as well. And the next obvious mitzvah that this relates to in halacha is ketzira, harvesting. It says in the Torah, you can't harvest during Shemitah. Now, if that was true, that would mean that it's basically off limits. But we know that's not so. You're allowed to eat Shemitah produce, certainly biblically. In fact, the Ramban, some understand, that it suggests that it's a mitzvah. It's a positive commandment to eat Shemitah produce. But how are you going to eat the produce if you can't harvest it? You can't remove it from the ground. How are you supposed to eat it? So Chazal understood that when it says lo siksor, it doesn't mean you shouldn't harvest it. You shouldn't harvest it in a way that it's nizirecha, or it's ketzir echa. You shouldn't harvest it as it was yours. And that's what Rashi says here, liyot machazik bo kisha'ar katsir. You shouldn't harvest it such that you grab hold of it like you do other harvests. And then, v'hayta shabbat aratz lachem lo'ochla, it shall be for you to eat, afal pisha asartim alecha, even though I forbid it to you. Lo b'achila v'lo b'hana asartim. It is not forbidden to benefit from or to eat. Ela shalo tinog b'hem kival b'ayit. You shouldn't act toward them like the owner. Everybody should be equal. So in terms of the prohibition against harvesting, again, there's a lot of details to this, but you are allowed to harvest Shemitah produce. What you're not allowed to do is harvest it in a way which indicates that you are asserting your ownership over it. And the details relate to the way that you do it. You're supposed to change your normal way of processing Shemitah produce. You're supposed to use a different implement. There are limits to how much you take at a time. You're not supposed to fence it in. If you do fence it in, you're supposed to be mafkir it before you harvest it. Again, so you have this sort of isur of katsira, this prohibition against harvesting, but it's not harvesting per se in and of itself. It's harvesting in a way that asserts your ownership over it, relating to this general philosophy of Hefker. Okay, so that's the second sort of rule here. There's another rule, another really important mitzvah. Say again?
I'm wondering if the backwards phrasing of the pasuk, "Ketzir chalav tikzor,"
right,
has to do with this idea. It's like, you could harvest, you just can't harvest your...
Yes, exactly. Ketzir echa. You can't harvest in a way that it's yours. That's the Mefarshim say, exactly. And again, nizirecha, right? Don't take it in a way that you're saying it's mine. You're eating from God's table, as the Bechor Shor said. Now, there's another, 100%. So there's another mitzvah here with the reads, as I said, that reads the word le'ochla. And the Chazal learned from the word of the Ochla the concept that we call Kedushat Shviyat, or the sanctity of Shemitah produce. Shemitah produce is what is Kadosh, we'll say, in the sense that you can't do certain things with it. And here the Bechor Shor lists a number of them. It says, Lo L'Schora, you can't do commerce with Shemitah produce. Again, a long discussion, but you're not generally supposed to take, set up some sort of fruit stand or a grocery where you're selling Shemitah produce in bulk. That is Sechora, and that's not allowed. But Lo L'Hefsed, you can't cause it to be lost. You're not supposed to destroy Shemitah produce. And again, there are specifics to this, but on a basic level, this is why during the Shemitah year, after you eat, you'll usually have people, or the restaurants, the kosher restaurants, or if you're in yeshiva or anywhere, you go to someone's house, they'll tell you, well, that's Shemitah, that's Shviyat, because if it is Shemitah produce, you can't throw it out until it's really inedible. So even if you normally, according to most postgame, if you normally wouldn't eat it at some point, you finished your plate, you have a little bit left, it's not so appealing. But it's not inedible. You just would throw it out normally. You can't do that during the Shemitah year. You can't be mafsid it. V'lo lezilof. You can't use it to sort of, sprinkle around your house to give it a certain aroma. V'lo lemalugma. You can't use it as a bandage. V'lo lemishal kvisa. You're not supposed to soak. Garments to dye them, and you're not supposed to launder Shemitah produce with Shemitah. You can use it as a laundering agent. Umiu b'achila mutter, but you can eat it. V'chol davar shanat v'yor shavet l'hem shadim l'ochla. And the rule is, usually you can benefit from it in any way in which you consume it as you benefit from it. Such that you can dye your clothing with Shemitah produce. Be that as it may, what's fascinating about this is that there's a certain notion where you're allowed to eat Shemitah produce, but you can't do certain other things. You're not supposed to change from its normal usage. Where does this come from, this concept of kiddusha, this concept of sanctity? It's very interesting. In what sense is Shemitah kadosh? So this is a long discussion. There are those who take the perspective that kadosh doesn't mean in this case, holy in the sense that the Beit HaMikdash is holy, but Kedushat Shviyas means it's off limits, it's Kedushat Isor. We call Kalayim Pen Tikdash. That there are certain things that you can't do with it. Others see these prohibitions as an expression of, again, the idea that you don't own it. God is telling you, you don't get to do whatever you want with this produce. I'm allowing you to eat from it, but that doesn't mean that I'm allowing you to just throw it out either. There is a limitation to how you are to use Shemitah produce. But there is this notion of Kedusha. And some, as we said, Bechor Shor certainly indicated this before. When he says, Mishochan Gavoa, there are those Mefarshim that do see Shviyas as a sort of, quasi-Kedusha, similar to Kachem. It's not like a Karban per se, but there is some Kedusha there, which is why you can't throw it out and why you can't mistreat it. There are those who suggest, based on the Yerushalmi, that you should wash Netilat Yadayim before you eat Shemitah produce. And you're not supposed to, treat it with Bizayon. And Rav Hirsch here has a really fascinating idea. Where would the sanctity come from? What's holy about it? It's just fruit, right? It's not like you were makdish it as a karban. So Rav Hirsch writes that what's holy about it is sort of the philosophy that it introduces. It's the ideas associated with it. And he contrasts it to Avodah Zarah. Because there are three things in Halacha that Rav Hirsch sort of compares and contrasts here in terms of the ability to transfer Kedusha. What's interesting is that you have karbanot, let's say something that you're makdish the Bet HaKavayis, you donate a table or something like that to the Beis HaMikdash. Usually it's holy, but if you use money to redeem it, the Kedusha is transferred from that to the other object, right? In Shemitah, it's not so. The rule for Shemitah, and this is learned from the fact that it's called Kodesh, if you have Shemitah produce and then you sell that Shemitah produce, so the money is now holy, it has Kedushat Shviyat, and you have to use that money to buy other Shemitah produce, but the original Shemitah produce retains its Kedushah. there's a fascinating detail of Kedushas Shvi'is. And her first year sort of contrasts this with Avodah Zarah, which also is Tofes Damav, but everything remains Usur, and it never loses that Isur. As opposed to Shemitah, what's interesting is that now the money, so that you have that when you buy Shemitah, if you use that money to buy something else, the money loses its Kedusha. So it's sort of like a compromise. The first fruit is always Kadosh, but the next sort of stages in this development are not always. You can transfer Kedusha from them. And you contrast it as follows. Harian Avodah Zarah b'china chirem. Avodah Zarah is chirem. It's off limits. V'yesh l'chrachim ennukim b'nei reshet prusha. You have to distance yourself from it from as if it was a snared trap. Shvius are objects that express Hashem's control over your objects, your stuff. Omutzav, he maskir Hashem, they remind you of God. He is truly the owner of the land which is called yours. We call it yours, but ultimately it's Hashem's kinyan. There's these two sort of simultaneous kinyanim at one time. The Torah recognizes individual ownership, but we also recognize at the same time that it's Hashem that truly owns everything. And so that's the notion of Vaha'ovda Sha'aretz Knuli Hashem, the notion that the land is acquired to God. Mitbatzah Ba'ana Pirotea is expressed through the fact that you benefiting from its perosh. The ability to benefit from the fruits of your land, quote unquote, are limited during Shemitah. Mimchiyat Ofen Vazman, in terms of the way that you do them in the time. If you could just sell the pear of Shemitah, then the whole idea, the whole philosophy associated with these pears, the limitations, would be sort of a joke. It'd be fungible. Okay, I sold it, now I can do what I want. Therefore, the Torah says it's kadosh. Mishum kacham ratora biyova v'avar mumrim gam mishvies kodesh yelachem. Perutav him kadosh rayon akel. The fruits are sanctified to the godly, the divine idea. L'kacham mekar ma'aver kusha malcheir chenekne bahem. Selling simply transfers the kedusha to the other object. So there's this notion of kedusha associated with shvies in terms of the philosophy, in terms of the ideas they represent. This notion that everything is owned by God. And finally, even the we mentioned there is these four, you're not supposed to work the land during Shemitah. The Rambam here quotes the notion of Shabbat Ta'aretz, this positive commandment to make the land rest, and he notes the four primary categories, or the only really categories that this means. Again, it's you'd only get malchus for planting, pruning, harvesting, and picking. And there's a lot of details to all of that. But it's only these four. It's only these four biblically. And Rav Shlomo Yisraeli here in source number 10 suggests that even the notion of working the land is also not about work per se in and of itself, but rather about how working the land normally also expresses a certain ownership over land. In his words, Shabbat Aretz means, he suggests, and he presents two options, but he goes to the latter one, Shapir Shusha Tishbot HaSadeh Mibalot HaAdam. The field is meant to rest, not from work, but from human ownership. That's the resting. And therefore, this is why there's the notion of Otsar Beitin, the notion that Beitin, this is what often happens in Eretz Yisrael, one of the mechanisms to sort of get through the Shemitah year is that Beitin, or the Rabbanut, in this case, will sort of appoint agents to essentially work the field and process it and get it to the public on their behalf, and then you pay them for their labor and their costs in doing so. But they're just doing a service of providing it for you. In that process, there's certain work that they're allowed to do. And maybe they're allowed to do that because the whole point of not working is not the work itself, but it's about exerting your ownership over the land. And if Beit Din is doing it for everyone else, the whole point is we don't own this, we're just giving it to you. That's not a violation of that notion. That's what he suggests. So I think the what you see here is a certain philosophy for the entire year, which expresses itself in many different mitzvot relating to the Shemitah year. Now, let me end with sort of the objection that you often get when you talk about this, whereas people will say, what is this? Is this like communism? Is it socialism? Or are we socialists for a year? You know, what's going on? Why are we doing this? Don't we believe in ownership rights? It's not my pair. What do you mean? And first of all, it's a one-year thing, and I think it's useful to take a break from this sort of overall philosophy, my stuff, my field, my peros. But I think it's different in that we're not saying, what's interesting about Shemitah is it's not like some sort of tzedakah fund. We're not giving it to the government and telling the government, give it out to the poor or to people who need it or give it out to everybody. No, everybody can take. Everybody can take as much as they want. Or not much they want, there's the rules of that, but there's no limiting, you know, you from taking from your field or someone else's field, you don't have to be wealthy or poor, it's everybody. But the point is that we're all acknowledging that it all comes from God, and that some of the sort of external differences we often sort of emphasize, I have land, you don't have land, you know, this is my field. Or Yaron suggests that maybe the reason that we say that is because even if you're giving tzedakah, you're giving to the poor, there's still this sort of hierarchy. I'm giving to you. I have, you don't, let me give to you. During Shemitah, that's not so. We're all just on Hashem's land. That's sort of the perspective for the whole entire Shemitah year. And so for once a year out of the 7 years cycle, we sort of retreat from our no omer ownership to remind ourselves that indeed all the time, even when we do keep people out of our field, and we do take what we want and sell and buy, but we're doing that in the service of Hashem, in the service of God, and it's He who gives us those rights and that control over our things, such that He can tell us for a year, okay, you're not the owners this year. I'm the owner this year, and I'm giving it to Klal Yisrael. That, I think, is the message generally of Shemitah. And as our Shemitah year approaches, which is, it's really right around the corner, it's important to keep these ideas in mind.